Here's the situation. There has never been a day. I am so stressed out. I'm pitting out. I'm sweating because we have so much news, so many like top tier stories. I mean, I'm literally quaking right now. If you're quaking, let me hear it in the chat, because all day I have been like in a frenzy, like, oh my gosh, like we literally might go over an hour because there is just so much going on, which is like the best case scenario, but also the worst case, but also the best case. You know what I mean? For you and I, that's let's go. This is Poplitics Live. Every Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, we cover the biggest pop culture stories of the week without the leftist propaganda. I'm Alex Clark, and here's the deal. I was wanting to go live on Instagram simultaneously. Didn't end up happening. We're still trying to figure it out technically, but hopefully by next week. Actually next week there won't be Poplitics Live because it's Good Friday, isn't it? Okay, there won't be Poplitics Live next Friday. Maybe what we'll do is we'll end up doing Poplitics Live like on Thursday or something like that. I don't know. I don't remember what my schedule is next week. I know I've got a couple spillover interviews that I'm recording and stuff. So see, this is what happens. The air's on in here. If you can hear it, then we'll have to turn it off. But if you don't, then we'll just keep going. I don't remember my schedule because the my main assistant girl who takes care of my schedule is out for like a bachelorette party or something or a wedding. So anyway, I don't remember what's going on. I will try to do a Poplitics Live next week. Just be ready and prepared that I'm going to drop on you like, hey, we're doing it tomorrow or something. And it's going to be a different day because Friday's Good Friday. So I am off work. Now, that being said, what I was trying to tell you is I do want to bring Poplitics Live to Instagram, to the Poplitics Instagram. So the goal is that simultaneously you can watch it on YouTube Live or you can watch it on Instagram Live. I don't understand the obsession with my audience and having the show on Instagram, but it's like, man, it's got you guys in a chokehold, which I love and respect you for it. I really do. I just don't get it because YouTube is so much better. Like you can put it up on your TV. You know what I mean? It looks better. I like being able to watch it on a bigger screen, but some of you, I guess, just want to watch it on your phone. That's fine. So we're going to try to get that done. Sorry, it was supposed to be today. It didn't happen. Now, what a week for pop culture news. Today on The Rundown, Princess Kate diagnosed with cancer, Quiet on Set, the new docuseries on HBO Max detailing child abuse and sexual harassment on set has gone completely viral, as it should. And I do have a question to pose about Dan Schneider. I have not seen anyone else pose this question, and maybe that's not a good look for me. But as I watched it, this question came to me and I was looking for other people that kind of had the same takeaway. And I don't know if people are just not brave enough to say it or I am the only one on my own island. And then I'm prepared to take the L if it's an L. But I do want to ask you about this, because if you watched it, I just want to know if the same conclusion occurred to you at all. Now, of course, it was announced this morning that Candace Owens is out at the Daily Wire after months of tension, a huge blow up with Ben Shapiro 4 months ago. I think a lot of people, including myself, felt like the writing was on the wall. If you didn't see my live the day that that had happened 4 months ago, you should go back and watch that, because we spent like the entire time going over that, about what I've heard about, you know, goings on at the Daily Wire and Candace and all of that kind of stuff. And I said, there is no way that she is going to be there much longer, because at that point, it's just a hostile work environment. You know what I mean? Like, and maybe not on purpose in that way. Maybe everybody else was nice to her, but it's just that feeling of like, okay, one of the main people here absolutely can't stand me. I wouldn't want to work in an environment like that either. So I said, I thought she was going to be leaving, whether Daily Wire got rid of her or she decided to leave. And then now it's happened 4 months later. So you should go back and watch that live. But it was all about that drama. You can go back and watch any live after it's aired. Now, I will share today what I think the last straw was. And of course, complete speculation. It is a big deal. This departure is a big deal for the conservative movement, for all involved. I mean, this is very historical. And There is something else I want to mention, and this isn't like one of my main stories. Like, it's not even in the description of the show, but it is important and worth mentioning. So if you listen to my interview with Vani Hari, that's the Food Babe, a couple weeks ago, the Food Babe talked about with me how Chick-fil-A, one of the big things, they flew her out to their headquarters to discuss what all was going wrong with their food. And if she could change one thing, she could only pick one thing, what would it be? What would be the most important? She said, the antibiotics in your chicken. She said that was so gravely concerning that she would have to overlook everything else if they could just change that one thing. They ended up agreeing, made all of their chicken antibiotic free. This is huge, okay? Now, this was like 2012 or something, 2013. If you listen to the interview, she discusses. Today, and this is crazy. Today, this morning, and I'm on Pacific time, so I'm like awake later even than the East Coast of the country. You know what I mean? Like, I'm waking up and you guys are already getting on with your day. But I wake up and my habit is I wake up, I check my DMs. One of you DM me a screenshot of your Chick-fil-A app this morning. And it said like, hey, just a heads up. This year we're going to be switching to, we're going to be getting, going away from our no antibiotics ever chicken. Like, we're going to be bringing antibiotics back basically into our chicken. And it was just like, just letting you know. It was like a little warning. And she, whoever you were, thank you. So you sent that to me and I want you to know, I immediately texted that to Vani. Vani was able to get, because Chick-fil-A is trying to keep this under the radar today. So she just texted me and said, thank you for the lead this morning, was able to get it to Reuters to break the story. So now if you go to Reuters, they have a whole article, Chick-fil-A rolls back commitment to antibiotic-free chicken. That was a cute servative. So that is so cool. That is like food investigative journalism. Like, we worked as a team with Vani to break that story today. And Chick-fil-A is not going to be able to do this like low-key rollout of this, walking back on one of the most important things when it comes to their ingredients that they promised. And now they're going back on their promise 10 years, 12 years later, however long it's been. So just huge win for Cutservatives. I'm so proud of us. And this is just a step in the right direction that you guys send me stuff like this. I know people. I'm going to get it out to the right people. And we're really going to take on big food. This is the article. So we'll drop it in the chat right now if you want to pull it up and go back and read this full article later to understand, like, what does that mean? Chick-fil-A rolling back their antibiotic chicken, antibiotic-free chicken guarantee and all that kind of stuff. What does it mean for our food, for our health and our kids? So we'll put that in the chat for you. Now, some good news. The first round of speakers has been announced for Turning Point USA's Young Women's Leadership Summit. Erica Komazar, Ali Beth Stuckey, Holistic Hilda, Hilda Labrada-Gore from the Weston A. Price Foundation and the Wise Traditions podcast, Riley Gaines, Taylor Dukes Wellness. She is an incredible story. She is all about non-toxic living, was diagnosed with a brain tumor, beat her cancer, doing everything holistically, non-toxic. Very cool. Also a Christian. She just has an amazing testimony and just how-tos and guide for non-toxic living. We're all speakers. We are all speakers. We were the first speaker drop, which means there's way more to come. And if this drop, hopefully this was an indication to you how amazing the speaker lineup is going to be this year. And you need to know that this is for the biggest women's conference in the conservative movement in the country. No one else does a conference like this. It is massive. Thousands and thousands of women from across the country, even some international, that come to this. It's just a huge production. This is a very, very high production event. It's not like, you know, sitting in a boring conference room with nothing. I mean, this is like special effects and crazy videos and subwoofers and, I don't know, confetti cannons and fire and all that kind of stuff. So it's not your mom's conference, although your mom is welcome to go because all ages can come, teens, college age, adults, moms, grandmas, as long as you are a biological woman, you should be there. And you don't have to go with anybody either. First year I went alone, immediately made friends that I'm still friends with to this day. So more announcements for guest speakers are going to be announced in the coming weeks. The seats, like just from this drop alone, we've never seen so much like excitement over a speaker drop in YWS history. So I know that we are going to run out of room for seats. So if you can come, it's June 7th through 9th, San Antonio, Texas, YWLS2024.com. You can get 25% off with code Alex. YWLS2024.com, code Alex for 25% off. We're also going to put that link in the chat. Now, let's get down to business. Please thumbs up this video, by the way. Just tap the heart, leave a 5-star review, thumbs up, whatever, wherever you're listening. Subscribe so we can keep these lives going. We need to talk about Princess Kate's diagnosis. This was shocking. Shocked the world today. We knew that Kensington Palace was going to be making a massive announcement. They said that every rumor that you've heard is wrong, you know, in regards to this whole conspiracy about where Kate has been. We are going to set the record straight. Kate is on video announcing that she has cancer, that it's been confusing. They've had to take time because she needed to be able to talk to her kids and her family first, obviously come to terms with this diagnosis, figure out next steps. She's on chemo. So it's been a whirlwind, it sounds like, since her surgery. She said that she initially, they did think that the stomach surgery that she was going to have was non-cancerous. And then afterwards, they did some testing, found out that it was cancer. So truly shocking. Let's see how old she is. Kate Middleton age. 42. She's only 42. And you know what's really crazy to me is I just feel like women 25 to like 45, I have seen an explosion. I don't know if you feel this way, but have you in your life seen an explosion of younger women being diagnosed with cancer? This is something, I mean, I'm not kidding you. I went from knowing nobody with cancer ever to like, I feel like every 6 months I'm hearing about somebody, like a friend of a friend, a mutual friend, somebody that I do know, somebody in the public eye, like Kate Middleton that's younger. I mean, to me, 42, that's pretty young. But I just feel like it's happening more and more, which is really scary to me. It's really, really, really concerning and scary. She definitely looked like she had lost some weight and, you know, which makes sense going through a surgery and all that kind of stuff. So it is sad. Look, the whole thing with Kate, it was like, it was all fun and games till it wasn't. It was all fun and games. Like, it's fun to just be like, oh, it's taking her a little bit longer to get out. You know, they said she's having a surgery. To be fair, the palace or whatever we want to say, the royal family, that whole entity has handled this so strangely. And I get it. It's like very shocking. And I'm sure they were like kind of trying to figure out what to do. But even like with this announcement, I'm like, so you're telling me that you blamed the woman with cancer for a bad Photoshop? You know what I mean? Like, so why was she made the scapegoat for that Photoshop? There is no way she edited that photo. There is no way that she sat there and thought, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to trick the world. I'm going to Photoshop this picture of me being fine. Like, somebody else did that. And then she was held accountable. I just think that is so strange and unfair. And the palace now, that's still like a bad taste in everybody's mouth. You know what I mean? Why did you do that? If you knew this was going on, why would you make her say, sorry, I did this? Even if it was really her, I don't believe it was, but even if it was her that did the Photoshop, you're telling me, knowing that she has cancer and is dealing with this, you wouldn't have some court jester pop up and do a little dance and say, sorry, I Photoshopped really badly. You couldn't have found anybody. You couldn't find a janitor on staff that could take the fall for that. You had to make her do it. I mean, right? That is not normal. That is so weird that they did that. Very tragic. I hope everything goes well. Obviously, the world now is praying for Kate and William and the kids and the family. I just am like, do you think this family is cursed? Like, do you think the royal family has the like a Kennedy curse type of situation? Because I'm thinking Queen Elizabeth dying, she lived a really long, long life. So that isn't bad. And the thing is I'm not a royal family like freak. I'm not like super in the know on like everything with them. But the things that come off the top of my head are Prince Andrew's scandal, that whole thing. Meghan and Harry leaving, all of that controversy. Kate being diagnosed with cancer. What else am I missing? I know there's other stuff. Oh, well, I mean, Princess Diana dying, you know, and some say that was planned, that that was on purpose. Somebody killed her, that it wasn't just a freak accident. So, oh, and Prince Charles has cancer this year. Wow. So Prince William then is dealing with his wife's cancer and his dad's at the same time. That is really tough. So be praying for them for sure. That is really tough. Really tough. But I'm like, man, is there some kind of like royal family curse? Maybe that's a well-known thing. See, I'm just ignorant on the royal family. So maybe this is something that everybody talks about. Like, oh yeah, the royal family curse, just like they talk about the Kennedy curse. I just wouldn't know. Okay, so I want to move on to Candace Owens officially out at the Daily Wire. What happened? Where will she go next? I have some speculations. I have some predictions. I'd like to read yours. I want to preface this by saying I like the Daily Wire and I like Candace. Same as I said on the last live discussing her and Ben's, you know, initial beef with each other. It's just interesting to discuss as somebody who works in the same industry, but there are things that Ben says and believes that I disagree with and agree with. There are things that Candace says and believes that I disagree with and agree with. So for both of them, I am not like, I am team Candace in this fallout. I'm team Daily Wire. I'm just like, I like people on both. I like the Daily Wire as a company. I like Jeremy Boring. You know, unless something else comes out that the Daily Wire is done or something. I mean, to me, I'm just like, okay. You know, this, like I said, the writing was written on the wall. They had fundamental disagreements here. It was bound to happen. But as far as I know, there's not necessarily a bad guy in the situation. They just weren't a right fit. And I will get into it, but I'm not sure that Candace is the right fit for any company. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean it really as a compliment. Candace is her own thing. I think from the beginning, like, she was destined to be independent. She was destined to be her own boss. You know what I mean? So, what could have possibly unfolded in the last 24 hours? Now, I'm going off of just what the public knows and has seen. But Candace did this interview with this Jewish rabbi. It was super contentious. They disagreed on a lot. And she was really going after him. And I think that guy is just a shady dude anyway. Just forget the religion stuff. I mean, I'm pretty sure this rabbi, was he the person that was shilling for like sex toys for children and all kinds of strange things? I mean, this guy was just kind of flawed, it seemed, in general. Like, just leave the Jewishness out of it. It was just a flawed person. And also, I think he made some defamatory remarks about Candace or something like that. I don't know. I didn't watch the whole thing. I saw some clips online. So they disagreed on a lot. And because she was going back and forth with this rabbi, this commentator named Nick Fuentes came out and was like, yes, I totally agree with Candace. Okay. Nick Fuentes is a very fringe, far-right commentator who absolutely hates Ben Shapiro and hates Jews and hates Israel. He has confronted Ben Shapiro in public while he's been with his family and kids. He and Ben absolutely loathe each other for that, multiple reasons. The context here is important for, you know, okay, so why would Nick saying, oh, yay, I love Candace, she is doing all the right things right now, going after this rabbi and all the other things that she's been saying about what's going on in the Middle East, why would that be maybe in theory a problem? Again, I don't know. I'm just speculating. Well, once Nick makes his public endorsement of everything that Candace has been saying lately, the ADL last night shares a video of Nick in an article of him saying that Candace, everything that she's been saying lately has been right, that she's gotten everything right. The ADL puts out a statement that reads, white supremacist and Holocaust denier Nick Fuentes is praising Candace Owens' vitriolic anti-Semitism. It's hardly surprising, but it does set off alarm bells. When bigoted people come together to push an anti-Semitic agenda, it adds fuel to the fire of hate. Now, to be fair to Candace, she isn't coming together with Nick Fuentes. Nick, on his own show, said that he agreed with her. She never partnered with him or, you know, anything like that. So I don't know. The ADL is being dishonest, saying when bigoted people come together. I mean, I guess they're just saying, she's saying things and then Nick is saying that he agrees. So that would be coming together because they're both saying the same, in their eyes, saying the same things. I don't know. But here's why I think this is important. Knowing what we know about how Ben and Nick feel about each other is just this huge drama. I mean, there's drama with this kid and everybody in the conservative movement. He sucks. But several hours later, Jeremy Boring, the CEO of Daily Wire, tweets, Daily Wire and Candace Owens have ended their relationship. Notice, in that statement, no well wishes, no we maintain a strong relationship, we wish her the best, just she gone. That's it. She gone. Which definitely points to, I don't know, some animosity or bad terms, or like this was a very last minute, you know, in the heat of the moment firing, or she left. Daily Wire may not have fired Candace. Maybe she told them, I'm done with you, because some other conversation happened that she was not happy about. We don't know. I'm sure that she's going to have a book, or she's going to come out with a bombshell show. Well, we'll talk about this. And she's going to share her story, but she's going to find a way very smartly to monetize the sharing of her side. At least she should do that, in my opinion. So Candace responds by saying, after Jeremy tweets that, the rumors are true. And then I think this choice of words is interesting. I am finally free. If you would like to support my work, you can head to CandaceOwens.com, where you'll be directed to my locals page, or you can give a gift at GoCandace.com. There will be many announcements in the weeks to come. And then she put an American flag emoji and a cross emoji. Again, I don't. Nothing Candace does is like haphazard. I mean, to me, that draws attention to, like, you know, a lot of people were upset that she kept saying like Christ is king and all this kind of stuff in terms of debating Jewish people. I don't know. So I just think the cross emoji is her like reiterating, like, I'm not going to side with, I don't know whatever's going on, the Jews are upset about. So I predicted 4 months ago they were going to split ways. Then they came out, they said, well, Candace isn't going anywhere, everything's all good, we're all a family. And I was just like, it's just not going to last. I mean, I just was like, okay, they can say that now, but I knew that it wasn't going to stay that way forever because there are too many fundamental differences. And it was super obvious to me that she had outgrown the Daily Wire. I haven't thought ever that she needed them. Dave Rubin mentioned yesterday, I guess on his show, or not on his show, but on the Patrick Bet David show, that he thought Candace and the Daily Wire would be parting ways based on all this Jew stuff. So I thought that was interesting. I haven't seen that interview of him on Patrick Bet David, but might be worth going back and seeing what all he said, because that would have been, what, like 24 hours before this announcement came out? So I wonder if Dave Rubin knew something before anybody else, because Candace did announce, you'll be able to watch me on Locals, on my Locals page. Well, Locals is Dave Rubin's platform. So maybe this was planned and, you know, they knew that she was going to be going over there. What I think happened is Nick Fuentes endorsing Candace was the last straw for Ben, if I'm guessing. I think that Ben went to Jeremy and said, look, he was furious after that whole ADL thing, and they drew attention to Nick Fuentes praising Candace for what she was saying. And I would guess Ben told Jeremy, it's me or her. Like, I refuse to be working for the same company as her, so she has to go or I will. That wouldn't surprise me if that's what happened. Now, zero proof. I don't want anybody mad at me. Zero proof. Could be totally untrue. I'm just guessing. And I think Jeremy would have sided with Ben because Ben built the company. Ben is their biggest talent. He makes them the most money. I think that they told her that they were going to be firing her, but possibly agreed to pay out the rest of her contract and settle so that there wasn't a lawsuit. Because the first thing I thought was, ooh, if they just let her go because they didn't like what she was saying, Candace is obviously going to sue them for like an unjust firing. But if they worked it out with her and were like, look, we have to part ways. This is just, I know you want to go. We want to go. You don't want to be associated with us. We don't want to be associated with you. Here's what we're willing to do. We're willing to pay out the rest of your contract for however many years she had signed. You're free. Go on your own. Very possible. So what are your thoughts? Do you think that it was something else? Do you think that my speculation. My idea is, my theory is a plausible explanation or no. Kennedy says, I like the Daily Wire and I also like Candace. I'm going to keep watching them both probably. I'm sad that they didn't get along. Yeah, I think that kind of sums up my feelings too. Ariana says, Ben is too good at conflict resolution. It's why he ends up getting along with most people he debates. Well, then Candace would be the one person he can't get along with after debating. Someone else said, I stopped following Ben the day he told conservatives to shut up and get the jab. Kayla says, I think that Candace wanted to get out low-key because she can really take off on her own. Sydney says, Ben Shapiro doesn't actually promote freedom. Alana says, I think she's tired of her bosses being mad at her. She needs to be her own boss. Nicole says, Candace is not my vibe. I think she starts a lot of fights, but she'll do great on her own. Fred Key says, I don't think that it was one isolated incident. I think it was building up for a while. The rumor is she was really difficult to work with. SZW says, I agree with Alex. They bought out her contract, probably. Jenna says, I think Ben and Candace are too much alike. They're too much of the same person to get along. Very outspoken. They both state opinions like facts, and so that causes problems. Laura says, it's not a good look that they couldn't reconcile, and it actually makes DW look immature. It makes Daily Wire look immature. Emily, I think there's no love lost here. Candace was made to be independent. Bailey, I honestly love conservative media that can host multiple viewpoints, and it's a bummer when they can't. That's what free speech is for. You know what this reminds me of? And I just thought of this, but this Candace Daily Wire fallout, it reminds me of the original fallout between a conservative commentator and a company that didn't share her views. You know who I'm talking about? Can anyone guess? I will be so impressed if anyone knows what I'm about to say. Who is the original conservative commentator who broke ways, had a huge lawsuit falling out with their company? Because they said something that the company didn't agree with. The CEO didn't agree with. I don't see anybody guessing. I'll just tell you. Tommy Lahren. Tommy Lahren and The Blaze, if you remember, this was what, 2018 or 2019? Tommy comes out, says that she's pro-choice. She's conservative in every other way, but she is pro-choice on abortion. The Blaze, Glenn Beck was not happy. Huge lawsuit, massive blow up, changed her career forever. And now we're seeing this with Candace. Yeah, Megyn Kelly is very similar too, actually. But Megyn maintains, all these years later, Megyn maintains that it was her choice to leave, that it had nothing to do with the debate with Trump, that she left Fox because she wanted different hours to be able to be home with her kids. So she took that daytime, was it NBC? I don't remember. She took that daytime news talk show slot on another network so that she could be home different hours. Emily says, I rarely watch Candace anymore. She's arrogant. She thinks she knows more than she does. She provides health advice that is not correct. Well, I don't know if I agree with that. Cassidy says, did she win the lawsuit? Because that's retaliation for a protected right. I don't know what ended up happening with Tommy. Yeah, Tommy's with Fox with OutKick or whatever. Piccolo the Turtle says, so glad I did not renew my subscription with the Daily Wire. Sarah says, side note, Alex, you're so calm today. Are you feeling okay? I'm feeling fine. But anytime I have to talk about drama in the conservative movement, I'm going to come across calm because I don't want to take sides. I don't want anybody mad at me. I don't want Candace mad at me. I don't want the Daily Wire mad at me. And I am telling the truth in that I agree and disagree with people on the both sides of this. So I'm not going to come out and be like guns a-blazing, like, blah, 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 Candace, blah, 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 Ben Shapiro. Like, I'm not going to do that because there are things with both of them I would say I agree. So, yeah. All right. Mrs. Eliza says, is her Shot in the Dark series staying on Daily Wire? So I had a lot of people asking me this today, and I thought the same thing, and I thought, well, I think it would, because whenever you make a project with a company, a media company, they own the intellectual property rights. So I would guess that for maybe until the duration of her contract ends, that product, which would be A Shot in the Dark, would be allowed to stay on the Daily Wire platform platform once her contract ends. Even though she's not going to be making new content for them, her old content, like her Black Lives Matter, George Floyd documentary, all that kind of stuff she's made, I would guess that it would stay on there. But I'm not sure. I'm sure that the Daily Wire is getting a lot of questions about that, and they're going to have to answer that because I know a lot of people love that series. Alexis says, when are we getting Candace on The Spillover? Your guess is as good as mine. I've been asking for years and always get the runaround. So the invite is open anytime, obviously. I would love to talk to her about this. I'd love to talk to her about her thoughts on vaccine circumcision. Like, there's so much that Candace disagrees with me on my daycare stuff. Like, so there's so much that I would love to talk to her about, and I've been wanting to have her on. So the invite is absolutely open. So you should be telling her, please go on The Spillover with Alex Clark. I'd love to see you on there. Because I'm going to ask good questions. You know that I would. All right. So predictions for where she will go. I think one of two things, which maybe she will just totally go independent, but I think she could work out a way to still basically be her own boss by joining Tucker Carlson's new media company, or possibly Elon is going to offer her a show to launch on X. So Elon just canceled his show that we thought we were getting with Don Lemon. That was a disaster. So that's not happening. And Elon is trying to launch this TV version of Twitter, of X, so that you can watch. Because the thing is, with Tucker's interviews, they're the only place, the only video platform that you can watch Tucker Carlson and his interviews is on X, which is very frustrating, which I found out a couple weeks ago. There was an interview I really wanted to watch with him, and I couldn't, like, watch it on my TV. So I had to sit there on my phone like an iPad kid, like a peasant, watching it on this tiny screen, which was so awful. It was an awful viewing experience. I wanted to watch it on my TV. Well, Elon knows that we want to be able to do that. So he's making a smart TV version of Twitter where you will just be able to watch X shows. And so he needs more. It can't just be Tucker Carlson. He wanted there to be Don Lemon and Tucker. But Don, you know, was saying he wanted to, like, be able to have sex on the moon videotaped or whatever. I don't know what he was saying. But he had all these crazy demands. And it was just like, this is not going to work out. You're out of your mind. And he doesn't pull the numbers to justify asks like that. So right now they have Tucker. I wouldn't be surprised if Elon has called Candace today or texted her or whatever and said, let's set up a meeting. I want you to do a show on X. I also wouldn't be surprised if Tucker's new media company reached out and she's talking to them. I think her and Tucker would get along well. She has been saying she wants to report from Gaza for their side of the story or whatever in this war. She wants to be able to go there and show what's going on there. And Tucker just went to Russia and interviewed Putin. I think Tucker would be the right person to help her do that type of really dangerous investigative journalism and work. I really hope she doesn't do that for her safety. Journalists, I mean, have to report. Any journalists that want to report on Gaza always have had to do it from Israel because there is no freedom of press. And you are like in extreme danger being in that Gaza territory. So she has multiple kids now. I don't want her to do that just because I'm thinking from that perspective of, like, I don't think that's safe. I wouldn't want to see her putting herself in danger like that. I don't think it's worth it. But she made this comment to that rabbi she was interviewing that she wanted to do this. She wanted to go to Gaza and report. And again, I don't know how motivated she is to make that happen. Maybe this is like, I want to go to Gaza, find someone that can fund it. Or she's just like saying that, you know what I mean? I don't know how serious she is, but I would not be going anywhere in the Middle East, including Israel, right now at this time. I am way too scared of that. So we'll see what happens. Will you be following Candace onto her new venture, or are you over all of this? I mean, no matter what, like I said before, Candace is still Candace without the Daily Wire. Her brand is bigger than, I mean, arguably anyone else in the conservative movement. So is Tucker. She's one of those people. I really think that she should stay independent. I don't think that she should work for anyone. But share your thoughts in the chat. Speaking of companies parting ways with people, wow. Have you watched Quiet on Set? It is a new bombshell docuseries all about Nickelodeon during the 90s and the 2000s when it was in its heyday, and the toxic and abusive environment for kids and adults behind the scenes. It's just 4 episodes on Max, HBO Max, Max, whatever they're calling it. And my question is, so we'll put in the chat a poll, have you watched Quiet on Set? Yes or no? If you haven't, you need to. It is very worth it. It's a very well done docu-series. Here's my question, and this is the controversial question that I said I'm going to ask this. I haven't seen anybody ask it, and it's either because I am really a moron and I'm going to regret asking this question, or people are too scared to ask this question. This is another poll that I want to post in the chat. Was Dan Schneider at Nickelodeon a bad boss or child predator? Now hear me out. We are talking about Nickelodeon here for this last portion of the show, but it's not for kids, just a heads up. I know that you might be surprised by that question. Was Dan Schneider a bad boss or a child predator? And you're like, what do you mean? It is something that I have been thinking about since watching this docuseries and since watching Dan Schneider do that sit-down interview responding to the allegations this week, which I'm going to play some of for you. So I have always said that Nickelodeon would be my dream job, not as a child actor. I actually said this as an adult, like just working in media and everything. I've always daydreamed about being one of the people behind the scenes that creates funny storylines for Nickelodeon shows, like animated and otherwise. Like, I think I would just die to be able to work like with SpongeBob and create, like, be involved in the planning and for the shows and coming up with some weird ideas. I love children's television. I love it. I think it's magical. It's funny. That was something I told Turning Point a couple years ago. Before Daily Wire came out with their children's programming, I told Turning Point that that is like my dream. I would love to do that. I would love to host like a children's show or voice something. It's just always been like a little dream of mine that I've had in the back of my mind. Now, I can't do any like fun voices, but I just, with my real voice, I wonder if I could pull off like a young kid character or something. Anyway. Kids TV now is not even close to what it was in the 90s and early 2000s. And like right now, I think the closest thing we have to like a really genuinely great, just so well done, well written, well animated, classic show is Bluey. I think that Bluey is really special. And anyways, I definitely knew for all these years who Dan Schneider was, and I have been following his story for years, and I've been waiting for this day of when he would be heavily talked about in the public eye and people wouldn't be afraid to talk about him, because it was like everyone knew about this stuff, these rumors, like, is he a child predator, you know, is he abusing some of these kids, but like nobody was willing to come out and talk about it really. And then when Me Too was happening, I was always like, when is Dan Schneider getting Me Too'd? I know this guy is guilty of sexually abusing children. Then this docuseries came out, and I'm like, okay, now I am unsure. And I feel like nobody else is saying that, so that's why I'm like, either I am dumb or people are just like thinking it, but nobody wants to like be the one to say that. So I even knew that there was a producer who worked with Dan, who was Brian Peck. I knew that there was a producer, I didn't know it was Brian Peck, but I knew there was a producer who worked with him, that they had raped a kid, and that they were hired at Disney. I knew all of that. Now, I had no idea that this child was Drake Bell. Obviously, neither did anyone else, including people that worked there. So that was one of the things that definitely shocked me in this docuseries. So things that shocked me. Okay, let's start with the story about Drake and his dad. The story, which, by the way, how many people have watched the series? I should, like, reveal the results. What are the results of this poll so far? Okay, so 75% of you haven't watched yet. You need to. 86% think Dan Schneider is a child predator. So I'm not going to, I want you to watch it. And I also don't like when people ruin things for me. So I'm just going to tell you a couple things, but there is a lot to this docuseries that I'm not going to discuss so that you can, like, you know, hear something new, learn something new while watching. So one of the storylines is Drake Bell's dad talking about everything. And he's on camera. His dad seems phenomenal. He was so involved in his son's life and his son's acting career. He never left his son's side on any shoot or any set, always watching him like a hawk. He told Brian Peck, the pedo producer, to keep his hands off of his son. As soon as he started noticing that there was weird behavior, like he would just touch him too much, you know, kind of linger, touching his back and things. He was like, this is weird. He went back and found old footage of Brian Peck being around other child stars like Leonardo DiCaprio. He would do the same thing, talked about how attractive he was. All of these things were red flags to Drake Bell's dad, rightly so. So Drake Bell's dad goes to executives and says, hey, this is weird behavior. I don't like how this guy's interacting with my son. I don't want him to be able to interact with my son, or, you know, someone needs to tell him to stop or something. And the higher ups blow off Drake's dad and tell him, well, maybe you don't know this, but Brian Peck is gay. And so you must be homophobic. That's what this really is. You have internalized homophobia. And so you need to check yourself before coming out and saying these types of defamatory things about this producer. And that would have been, I mean, mid-2000s. That's not even now with how crazy everybody is now. But, you know, it's leftist Hollywood. So they're always like above this stuff. You know, they hit this stuff, these weird social woke trends, before anybody else. But they tell a concerned father, it's your internalized homophobia of why you have a problem with this producer lingering around your teenage son and touching him inappropriately. Ah, my Google Doc has been signed out. Let me re-sign in. So I was floored by that because this is exactly the type of thing that would happen now. And I'm sure it does happen, is parents, well, it is happening. It's happening to the public. We see things that are repulsive, that our intuition tells us is not right, having to do with children, the sexualization of children, you know, the books in our schools, the drag queen story hours, the double mastectomies on our children, all these different things. And we're told that we're bigots for bringing up these things, right? When we know that it's wrong. Same thing happened to Drake's dad. His dad felt bad. And he's like, well, geez, okay. I don't know. Am I homophobic? Then you start putting seeds of doubt in a parent. He backs off a little bit, but notices that this producer wasn't backing off. So the producer starts manipulating everybody, starts telling them how, you know, homophobic Drake's dad is and just terrible person. He's a bother. He's telling Drake this about his own dad. Drake is 15. He's freaking him out. And completely manipulates Drake, manipulates everybody else, convinces Drake that for your career, your dad is a problem. For your career, you need to fire your dad as your manager. So Drake fires his dad, breaks his dad's heart. His dad is just devastated. Nothing to do with the money, nothing. His dad is just sobbing, brokenhearted, saying, recollecting on that time and talking about how I was just so scared for my son's safety. And I knew that I wanted him to be happy. And if Drake, this is what he really wanted, was to hire, you know, to have somebody else be his manager, fine. But like, I was just so worried about so many things. And I also knew that him doing this, like, this was going to ruin our relationship, me not being involved as much. He's got this busy career. Like, I just knew, like, I was going to be exiled out of my son's life, essentially. So his dad pleads with Drake's mom, hey, that's fine if he doesn't want me to be his manager, but you need to promise me you will never let him be alone with Brian Peck. You will never let him. He said, there's something not right with that guy. He is obsessed with Drake. Do not ever let him be alone with him. What does she do? Immediately starts letting Drake spend the night with this grown man, be driven around by him for hours, back and forth to the studio, all the way to where they live, saying like, oh, well, I live all the way in Orange County, so, you know, the studio's in Hollywood. We'll just go ahead and let you spend the night there with Brian, with this grown man for days and days and days. And, you know, that's fine. It's just easier for you to do that. I really do blame her for this. As a viewer, I blame her for this. And I noticed that she wasn't in the documentary. She wasn't interviewed. Only his dad was, which I thought was interesting. So I wonder if her and Drake are on bad terms. I wouldn't be shocked. But there is absolutely zero circumstance that I would allow my child to stay the night or have all this unsupervised alone time with a grown adult male. It's just unconscionable. Unconscionable. It's just unconscionable. Rachel says this is why dads are important. You remove the dad from the equation. You leave the mom and the children more vulnerable to those who mean harm. Well said. Nina agrees. Totally the mom's fault. Laura says pathetic excuse for a mom. Daniel says the blame is on Drake's mom. Jenna says protective dads, like, we need them. Taylor says this is basically Gypsy Rose. I mean, not really. I don't know about that. But Emily says documentaries like this are obviously important, but does anything happen afterwards? Well, yeah, I mean, there is stuff. I mean, this guy went to jail and everything. But let me just get through this here. So that was crazy. Now, this is the other thing that I was like, we need more time on this. We need more time on this in the documentary. And it wasn't a long segment. The other thing that shook me to my core. So this pedophile producer who was raping Drake Bell was frequently having parties for the kids and the parents that were involved in Nickelodeon shows at his house in West Hollywood. He had a painting, an authentic painting painted by the serial killer, John Wayne Gacy, hanging in his home for all of his guests to see. So just like anyone does, you have guests over and they're walking through your home and you're giving them a tour of your home and you're going, excuse me, I don't know if you can pick up on that, I just burped. You're doing a tour through your home and you're like, well, this is my art piece from the John Wayne Gacy. Yeah, so he actually painted this. Him and I are friendly. We're actually pen pals. We write letters to each other back and forth, or did write letters to each other back and forth. Has a stack of letters in his nightstand of being pen pals with a child rapist and serial killer who buried boys under his house. He has this hanging in his house. And you're telling me all the parties that this guy would host, all of the kids and their parents that are traipsing through and walking through their house, his house, nobody is seeing this and going, oh, that's a little weird. That's a little strange. A single man who is gay, who works with kids, not married, no partner, no adult partner, has a pedophile, rapist, child killers painting in his house, brags about how he's pen pals with him. That wouldn't be a red flag for any parent. And I know, by the way, what John Wayne Gacy's pen pal letters were like with tons of people while he was in prison. You say, well, what are you talking about? What are you about to drop on us, Alex? Well, he loved talking on the phone and writing to pen pals. There was a child, or I don't know, student at UNLV a few years ago, late 90s. And this kid at UNLV thought that he wanted to become a FBI agent. He wanted to be a serial killer profiler. He wanted to talk to serial killers. He wanted to interview them. He wanted to understand why they did what they did. And he thought, how cool would it be if I made my senior project becoming pen pals with John Wayne Gacy, and I profile him and I talk to him and I, you know, do some forensic psychology on this guy for my senior project. This is a true story. True story. His name is Jason Moss. Google it. Google a picture of him to bring up. Jason Moss, UNLV. Jason starts a relationship with John Wayne Gacy over the phone and through letters. And Gacy gets inside of his head for years, forces him to pretend to be involved in his fantasies. He wants to discuss all the stuff that he did with his victims and relive it with Jason on the phone. And starts getting into his head. This kid had like a little brother, forced him to pretend like he was turned on by the ideas of an incestuous relationship with his brother. And this kid is like, okay, I know that serial killer profilers do this. Or forensic psychologists, excuse me. I know that they do this when they interview serial killers. Like, they're willing to play the game to get the information. So if I want to be this when I grow up, I have to be willing, he thought, to do this. So he is participating in pretending, essentially, like he's another victim of Gacy's, long distance through the phone. Well, he writes a book about this. It's called The Last Victim, A True Life Story into the Mind of a Serial Killer, and ends up releasing this book, and I don't know, a month later or something, he ends up ending his own life. Because, and he said, I am John Wayne Gacy's last victim. Because he was so mind warped. Oh yeah, they met. I forgot about that. They actually met also in person. So, I mean, what I'm saying is this kid wrote a whole book about what it's like to be communicating long term with this guy. And Brian Peck was doing the same thing. And you can read the letters and hear, and he recorded all the conversations and then he documented them in the book. So it's like, I know what these conversations were like. So Brian Peck was a sick effer, is what I'm saying. The book is called The Last Victim, A True Life Story into the Mind of a Serial Killer, written by Jason Moss. Just a tragic story of this young kid. The fact that parents were going to Brian Peck's house with their kids, they're looking at these John Wayne Gacy memorabilia and not having it cross their minds that there is something seriously wrong with this guy being left alone with their kids. I almost wonder if it did occur to them, but they just didn't care. If they just ignored it because their kids were the breadwinners and they wanted their money. That's what scares me. Too many parents who aren't willing to protect their kids in Hollywood if it means losing out on a check. It is so insidious. The question I want to ask is, was Dan Schneider, though? So that's all Brian Peck, this producer, who we know was abusing children. But was Dan Schneider a toxic, terrible boss, or was he a toxic, terrible boss and a child predator? My hot take is, if I'm only going based off this doc, I am not convinced that he is the latter. I'm not convinced that he himself was a child predator. And I know that's controversial. Now, here, just let me say some things. We had all of these people in this docuseries spilling their guts about everything, about him, about the set environment, about the work hours, about the toxic things that were said to them, about Brian Peck, about other people, producers, people they worked with that were abusing them. Dan Schneider, though, in the entire docuseries, is never once accused by any of these child actors or anyone else of sexual abuse, like rape, molestation. None. Not one time. he is accused of being a dick. He is accused of telling inappropriate jokes and sexual innuendos, including those in a show with child actors that gravely concern me. The worst people say that he did, as far as sexual harassment goes, was he would have adult workers on the set give him neck massages. He'd be like, come over here, I need a neck massage, which is totally inappropriate. He swore at people. He berated people. He was sexist towards some of the women, I would say, is a fair accusation. But not one person accuses him of sexual abuse, which I think is interesting. Even Drake Bell said that the one Nickelodeon person who was there for him, stuck up for him in court, helped his mom write a letter, you know, condemning Brian Peck in court that she could read, was Dan. And Dan, well, I'll let him tell his story in a second. There is a chance. Now, I'm not saying he's innocent. I'm just saying that the evidence that we've been provided so far doesn't show that. Shows a skeevy boss, somebody who has really bad judgment when it comes to content that is included in children's shows, age-inappropriate jokes, I would say. But he didn't hire the predators. He wasn't in charge of the hiring. And most of the things that I would categorize as sexual harassment, like the neck massages and things, were done to adults. So there is a chance that perhaps some things happened between him and Amanda Bynes. That's the one thing they asked Amanda Bynes to participate. She declined. She obviously has something to share. Whether that is about Dan Schneider, I don't know. She has something to share. Ariana Grande also has not said anything. We have no idea, or Jamie Lynn Spears, we have no idea without them making any kind of statement, which they're certainly not required to do. We have no idea if he is a child predator. I mean, the evidence in this documentary, in my opinion, exonerates him from those specific accusations, unless somebody else says otherwise. There were a lot of predators at Nickelodeon. They go through several of them. There's a lot more that they didn't include in this documentary. But it doesn't look like Dan Schneider was one. That's my hot take, at least for now. Now, does this mean I like Dan Schneider? I think he should be hired again to work on children's shows? No, I don't think any of that. I just am saying everybody is, it's Dan. He was abusing kids on set, all this. The evidence doesn't show that. But he's the name everybody knows, and he's the name everybody's talking about, and Brian. But he did a sit-down interview with The Hollywood Reporter conducted by, and this could be a conflict of interest. Some say it's good because it was the one person Dan is going to feel comfortable sitting down with, or it's a conflict of interest. But it was conducted by another former actor who worked on iCarly addressing the worst stuff in this doc. So here's a little bit of that. I've got like a 2.5 minute clip, and then I have another like 2 minute clip, and I'll come back in between. But I want to just play these two parts. The whole interview is like 18 minutes, so you should watch it because they talk about a lot of interesting things. But let's watch this first clip.
The darkest part of this series discussed child predators. Now, I want to make sure that we clear a couple of things up. Brian Peck was not hired by you.
No, I did not hire Brian Peck.
This was a Tolan Robbins production?
Yeah. And when Drake and I talked and he told me what had happened, I was more devastated by that than anything that ever happened to me in my career thus far. Mm. And I told him, I'm here for you. What do you need? Which Drake mentioned in the show that we watched last night. And next, I heard that he went to court when this guy was being tried, Peck. And when Drake walked in, he saw 50 people sitting on the side of the courtroom supporting Peck. A lot of them pretty famous. Of course, Drake was devastated that that happened. And even more disappointing, 41 of those people wrote letters for Peck, character letters, praising him for who he was and asking for leniency, and they knew that he was guilty. They knew he had confessed to some degree, mm-hmm. and they still did this. It's just, that's baffling that adults would do that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if people know this, but Drake's mom, a lovely woman who I stay in contact with this day, she came to me at the time and she said, Dan, I'm not good with words like you are. And would you help me with my speech for the judge? And I said, of course. And I did. And he ended up going to prison and serving his time. And yeah, that was probably the darkest part of my career.
One of you in the chat said the Ned's Declassified podcast talked about how different their experience was. Like, we never had any bad experiences with Dan. That's part of it, is that so many of these people, including Drake, everybody was like, yeah, he's kind of an a-hole, but nobody said he was sexually abusing me, he touched me inappropriately, nothing. It was just like, okay, some of these jokes in hindsight are like not good. And he said, you know, cut out the jokes. So it's just very confusing to me. But yeah, the Ned's Declassified podcast was like, they kind of got in trouble for being insensitive towards Drake. But they were just like, I mean, we just didn't have that experience. So it wasn't a universal. Every kid who worked at Nickelodeon was miserable and had a toxic experience. A lot did. And Dan himself says this in this interview. A lot did, which is valid. A lot of people, he said, did not have a good experience working with me. And for that, I am so gravely sorry and I regret it. And I wish that I could go back and change how I am as a boss. But a lot of people also, he said, defend me and say they had a great experience and would work with me again. So it seems pretty 50-50 on this guy. And that could be why someone like Ariana Grande isn't wanting to say anything. Because clearly she has an amazing career. It's not like it matters, you know, her relationship with Nickelodeon at this point. She could easily come out and be like, this corporation is absolutely evil, toxic. Dan Schneider's evil, toxic. She has nothing to lose. So the fact that she's not saying anything, I think it's because she likes him and didn't have a bad experience. But that also is not, everybody's going to be mad at her for saying that she didn't have a bad experience. You know what I mean? Cassidy says every abuser has two faces. That is true. That is true. And that's the thing. I'm like, man, is this guy just like, doesn't have a lot of great character, isn't the best guy, but he's not a predator, or it's like he is really good at hiding stuff and he has some deep, dark stuff that is really hidden. That's the thing. Alexis says it's annoying when other people say, well, he never raped me. Like, okay, does that mean he didn't do it to somebody else? Valid. Savannah says the foot thing is disgusting. I don't think that he's innocent. Yeah, he had a lot of foot jokes in his show, a lot of crude humor, which is why people are like, this is inappropriate for kids in hindsight. Like, this stuff is what we know too much now about how these pedophiles work, that it's like all very inappropriate to include. Minner says he did tickle the girls weirdly. Dominique says, who hired Brian Peck? Who allowed him to stay in the industry? Wasn't Dan, but yeah, that's a good question. Okay, so one more clip from this interview with Dan. Here's what he has to say about Drake Bell and Brian Peck.
Was there specific things that you were doing?
Sure. I would snap at people sometimes. Mm-hmm. I would be snarky when I could have given them a nicer answer. I would not give people the time that they needed. I would be in too big a hurry to get on to the next thing I had to do. And watching that show, it made me... There were so many times I wanted to pick up a phone and call some of those people and say, I'm so sorry, and let's talk about it. And I wish you'd had a better time, and I wish I could have shown you a better experience.
Yeah. Now, you've written hundreds of episodes. Thousands of jokes have been told.
Yeah.
But currently, where we are, some people think that some of those jokes are inappropriate for children.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of that?
All these jokes that you're speaking of, that the show covered over the past two nights, every one of those jokes was written for a kid audience because kids thought they were funny and only funny, okay? Now we have some adults looking back at them 20 years later through their lens and they're looking at them and they're saying, oh, you know, I don't think that's appropriate for a kid's show. Mm-hmm. And I have no problem with that. If that's how anyone feels, let's cut those jokes out of the show. Just like I would have done 20 years ago or 25 years ago. I cut it. I want my shows to be popular. I want everyone to like, the more people who like the shows, the happier I am.
Yeah.
So if there's anything in a show that needs to be cut because it's upsetting somebody, let's cut it.
So I think it's big for you to say with your work,
mm-hmm.
if it's viewed as that today, you don't have a problem.
Cut it. Cut it.
I mean, that's a solution.
The last thing I want to ever do
yeah.
is put any content in a show that's going to upset my audience and make them want to turn off the TV. Why would I ever want to do that?
That makes sense. I want to give you an opportunity to kind of elaborate on something.
Okay.
The thought process from the series is you had the power to just write a joke and no matter what, it's going on TV. You just had that type of power. Is that true?
The notion that I had the power to just produce whatever I wanted and have it air is completely false.
Okay.
There were many, many levels of scrutiny. Okay. We had executives in LA. We had executives in New York.
So two coasts.
Two coasts
okay.
of approval. Coasts. Yes. And not, and by the way, approval at every stage, really.
Okay.
And I'm talking about wardrobe. I'm talking about makeup, sound, sets.
So we ended up playing those clips in reverse, but you get the gist. We played the Drake one before the other. Anyway, so do you think that he's a pathological liar or being sincere? Some of you guys have some interesting comments. One of you said, this interviewer is way too soft. This is a conflict of interest. Tebow doing it because he was on iCarly and like this whole thing. He obviously likes Dan and is one of those actors. Like I said, some people had good experiences, some didn't. He's an actor that had a good experience. And he is, they said, being too soft of an interviewer. They said he should sit down with someone like Tucker Carlson instead. Well, if he's trying to get away from controversy, I don't know that letting Tucker be the one to interview him would be good. But I'm trying to think who else would be like a great, oh, well, maybe Rogan or something. You know, maybe he should have somebody like Rogan interview him. Maybe me. Shada says Megyn Kelly should interview him and grill him. Oh, my gosh. Megyn Kelly would absolutely burn the place down. The interview would be so fire. That is who, I agree with you. That is who should interview Dan Schneider. So what do you think? Make sure you thumbs up this video too, by the way, please. If you're in here and you haven't done that yet, just hit the thumb. That's it. If you have already binged Quiet on Set and you need something else to watch this weekend, I do have a recommendation for you. Watch An Open Secret. So one of the best documentaries that I've ever seen about the child sexual abuse in Hollywood. It is so well done. It will blow your mind. Is An Open Secret. It is free on Vimeo, but we'll post a link here in the chat on YouTube. Free on Vimeo. So if you Google An Open Secret Vimeo, you can find it there, or you can get this link and then put this aside to watch it later. But you have got to watch this documentary. The filmmaker of this, I am friendly with him, and we've talked about this movie before, and I just had questions for him and stuff. I wanted him to find me a child who is a survivor of sexual abuse in Hollywood. So I reached out to him. We talked for a while, but he didn't have anybody that would be willing to out anyone. Like, I wanted somebody that, like, had an adverse experience with Dan Schneider or whatever. Like, that's what I was looking for. This is years ago when I first launched The Spillover. I'd reached out to him, and so we talked on the phone. And he's like, I don't have anyone that would be willing to talk. Like, there are rumors, there are these things, but, like, besides the people that were already in my documentary, like, these kids, they just won't do it. And so it's really, really sad and really difficult how many kids are suffering. And I think because their parents, they become the sole provider for their family. And these kids do not want to risk speaking up, knowing if I say something, if I rock the boat, if I draw attention to a problem and I lose this job, if I lose this gig, my family loses our house. My dad loses everything. My parents have already quit their job so that I could do this. And if your kid is old enough, they understand that and they feel that weight. And I just think I have such a huge problem than with parents. I don't know. There needs to be some kind of other step in the child star process that can prevent and make sure that a parent is not keeping their kid in a situation because they want money, because that kid is being made the sole provider of the household. I have a huge problem with that, huge concerns about that. I'm sure that you do too. So that is the Dan Schneider saga. We'll wrap here. I do want to mention this week's episode of The Spillover is with Dr. Kelly Blodgett. He's one of the top holistic dentists in the United States. His practice is in Portland, Oregon, and he was so much fun. I have loved seeing the feedback from you guys on this. I didn't realize dentistry is one of those segments of like health that people are very confused on. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of lying. That's one of those segments of healthcare. It just seems that people do not know who to go to or what to trust. And there's a lot of toxins used in traditional dentistry that are extremely concerning, a lot of toxic practices that are extremely concerning. And it's like everybody turns a blind eye to this field. And Dr. Kelly Blodgett is really on the front lines, drawing attention to this in dental healthcare in a way that is very well respected throughout the United States and the world. So if you've not watched that one, you should, and you should watch this interview this weekend because he was funny and he made me funny. And it's just, you know, sometimes you have somebody, their personality brings that out in you. So I got to kind of be in my funny side for this interview. And there is a hilarious little surprise at the very end of this interview that if you haven't watched, you need to just even fast forward to watch the end because it is very funny and we had fun making that at the end of this video. So subscribe to The Spillover anywhere you get your podcast, or Real Alex Clark on YouTube to watch it. Please thumbs up this video today, this live. Tell people about this. We go live pop culture without the propaganda every single Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern. Next week, I told you it's Good Friday, so we're off. So there will be, I'll probably go live unless my spillover schedule prevents it. I'll try to go live a different day next week instead for you, unless you're like, nah, let's just have a break. I don't know what you prefer. You can let me know in the comments of this video, but thumbs up, subscribe. It's pop culture without the propaganda. I'm Alex Clark, and this is Poplitics Live.